Tom, tell us more about your book and the let's just say, the lack of justice towards the corruption within the federal government, especially the last couple of years.
You know, we've had this terrible abuse of power under the Biden administration. Of course, it continued the deep state abuses under the Trump administration, largely targeting Trump. But it really, truly metastasized under Biden with the lawfare against Trump. And it's not just Trump. It's other innocent American citizens. The FBI was sent to my house to issue me a subpoena, deliver a subpoena to me on Judicial Watch's activities, holding the Justice Department accountable for attacking Trump, abusing Trump. And they harassed me for hours, Jack Smith's team, before a grand jury, arguing with me about politics. As I've joked, it was like being at an MSNBC panel for 4 hours. And of course, that pales in comparison to what they've done to Trump. And my view is the election has already been compromised by this attack on Trump, this lawfare. Now, will it be enough to change the result in a way that people reject? I don't know. But let's not be naive that this has been about election rigging as much as the excuse they've been using that they're seeking to hold Trump accountable over anything he did wrong in 2020, which in point, in fact, he did nothing wrong. He acted perfectly appropriately. So this is a real crisis for our republic, because if we start jailing former presidents and political opponents at the drop of a hat, which is what the Biden-Harris people seemingly want to do now, that's the end of our republic, as far as I'm concerned. It's not just Trump. Now we see recently, Charlie, they're going after Elon Musk. They've gone after party officials in the various swing states. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it where some of the folks you might have worked with in 2020, you can't work with this year because they're facing criminal civil prosecution.
Of course, and the normalization of this, Tom, when I talk to liberals both on campus and off, they'll say, oh, it's just because they commit crimes. I mean, this is the third world we're entering, Tom.
These folks are being targeted because they disputed an election under law, as has been done since the beginning of our country. And so, you know, that's been the challenge, again, that Trump's campaign has faced in 2024. And there's got to be some accountability for it. And assuming Trump wins, if he does win, I'd recommend he conduct and demand a criminal investigation of what went on in terms of targeting him and these other innocents in the several states. The abuse of power, the targeting of individuals, depriving them of their civil rights under color of law. It's happening right now here in Washington, D.C. with Jack Smith.
So, yeah, the Jack Smith thing is, I mean, if Trump were to win, he can disassemble all of that. Is that correct?
He can. But, you know, it's not going to stop unless there's accountability. I mean, the deep state isn't going to stop. I mean, the challenge, and I think what's important about getting this book, Rights and Freedoms in Peril, is that the issues we're talking about don't go away on election day. The left isn't going to stop trying to destroy Trump and engage in lawfare. The left isn't going to stop with open borders. The left isn't going to stop trying to destroy elections, let alone election integrity. They want to end elections. The left is going to stop pushing forward their effort to destroy America through racial division and strife. All of these issues are going to remain a challenge no matter who is president. And in fact, the challenges might change and increase even if Trump wins, given the recent insanity of the left that's been largely taken over by communists or folks who agree with the communist approach to their political opponents. Jail them and censor them.
Have there been any improvements that you guys at Judicial Watch have been able to achieve on voter integrity since 2020?
Oh, you betcha. It's just the last year and a half, 2 years, Judicial Watch's litigation cleaned up 4 million dirty names from the rolls, meaning
that's
people
huge.
Who shouldn't be on the rolls. It's a huge amount. And we're in court still in Illinois and California to clean up the rolls. We may sue in Oregon, frankly, any minute. They've got the dirtiest rolls in the nation, as best I can tell. So the Justice Department, of course, has been AWOL on this because they don't want the rolls to be clean. They're run by leftist Democrats, and they have an interest in dirty voting rolls because dirty voting rolls provide a pool of voters that fraudsters can use to vote. And so we've been alone in doing this heavy lifting. And, you know, you see in the news just in the last week, the Justice Department, rather than cleaning up the rolls, comes in, abuses the law to sue Virginia to tell them that federal law requires them to keep non-citizens on the rolls.
This is extraordinary stuff. I do want to emphasize one thing, everybody, which is voter rolls sounds wonky. Okay, voter rolls. Voter rolls is without a doubt the most important legal fight, because dirty voter rolls is the original sin in erroneous mail-in ballots being received and then mail-in ballots then being counted. And this is what's very important, is that if someone is just looking at the ballot tabulation from the time the ballots are received at its final point of contact, they'll say, oh, these are all real ballots. There's no voter fraud. But hold on, they might be legitimately processed ballots but illegitimately sent out, in the sense that they're being sent out to people that have moved, that have died, that are two or three times registered. Can you walk through that, how dirty voter rolls are the original sin of broken elections?
You highlight when you have mass mailing of ballots and you have voters who shouldn't be there, there's a good chance voters who have moved away or who are dead are going to get ballots in the mail. Or there's a chance, because the names have been old and people know, and fraudsters track this. You know, the parties track this. It's available to everyone who's voted recently, who's likely moved away. And you can, just because you're inactive and haven't voted for a long time, you're still on the registration list and votes can be made in your name. So if there's no voter ID, or, as you point out, the balloting takes place away from the voting place, meaning unsupervised voting through the mail, it's much easier to get away with fraud voting in someone else's name. And we don't have to prove whether it happens or not. That's the risk, and that's why the law requires the states take reasonable steps to clean up the rolls. The left doesn't want to do anything reasonable to curtail voter fraud, or the concern that Americans have that, what do you mean you're not taking dead people off the rolls? Are you expecting us to believe the election is going to be honest if that's the case? They don't want to clean them up. And as I said, the Justice Department and the left fight us. Well, in this case, the left fights us tooth and nail. All these Soros operations, all these Mark Elias type groups are coming in and trying to stop us from cleaning up the rolls. And on top of it, the other big issue, I think, this year, Charlie, and I'd be interested in your views on this, is the counting of ballots after Election Day. I don't think it should happen at all. In the least, counting ballots that arrive after Election Day is anathema. And the federal law sets an Election Day. Taking ballots in after Election Day and counting them is obviously contrary to law.
Correct.
But 18, 19 states do it. We have a big case in Mississippi. They count ballots that arrive for 5 days after election. In Illinois, they allow ballots to come in for up to 2 weeks after Election Day. California, it's 7 days. And, you know, those states, you may say, may not impact presidential campaigns, but they certainly impact other campaigns as well. Plus, it undermines voter confidence. Counting ballots after Election Day invites voter fraud, undermines voter confidence, and I would argue is illegal.
And look, the voter confidence is what I want to emphasize, because there's so much sneakery that happens here. But, you know, in my home state of Arizona here, it takes a week and a half for us to get a final tally. And therefore, an independent observer is just begging the question, what is going on here? And here's the issue. Arizona does have early canvassing. So they're able to early canvass, and they still can't get all the votes counted on election night, Tom. They still can't, because this is how screwed up our system is that they allow day.
It's not screwed up. That's purposeful, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean,
it seems as if
there is a goal towards chaos that, again, I independently am saying it's screwed up just from analyzing it.
But I hear you.
But it's the question of, is it fixed or is it fixed? Right? So it's the fixed can be have two different words. So
So they've structured the voting process in places like Arizona or up in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania to make it easier to steal the election if need be. So if you normalize the counting of ballots after Election Day, boy, that sure makes it easier for fraudsters to come in and manipulate the outcome. And they don't care if voters get nervous about it because it's all about winning. And, you know, I've seen three or four stories in the Washington Post. CBS News was pushing this garbage out as well. Oh, we won't know who won on election night. Remember, in 2020, Pennsylvania took 4 days to count their ballots. Well, that's not right. It's not legal. And it ought to be not normal nor accepted. And I tell you, if President Trump doesn't have in 2020, he had the votes to win on election night. Right. And that result was changed as a result of unprecedented, and I would argue, unlawful counting that occurred for days after Election Day. And I tell you, if we don't know who won on election night, I think it's going to be very unpleasant in terms of what the outcomes are in terms of voter confidence.
Look, here's the reality, though. We're not doing this to demoralize you. In fact, we're trying to tell you that because of Judicial Watch, that rolls have been cleaned up. We do outnumber them, and this should motivate you even more to go and vote. But we want to make sure you guys understand the terrain, and I think our audience understands that. Let's play Governor Youngkin here from Virginia. Play cut 142.
That bill was signed in 2006, and it requires us to use DMV data where people self-identify as non-citizens to then go through a process of removing them from the voter rolls if they're on the voter rolls. And guess what? That's exactly what we've been doing. It's been happening for 18 years. Democrat governors, even Terry McAuliffe and Ralph Northam, use this process all the way up through into October. And that's exactly what we're doing in Virginia today, is someone walks into the DMV, they identify themselves as a non-citizen. Somehow or another, either by accident or by purpose, they register to vote. They're on the voter roll. We go through a process of notifying the registrar that they need to be told that if they cannot affirm their citizenship in 14 days, they're taken off the voter roll.
Tom, help us understand all that.
So what the government's saying is that you can't have a systemic process or systematic process to remove entire swaths of people from the rolls 90 days out of an election. And what Governor Youngkin is saying, we're not doing that. We're just taking names, name by name. If someone, if there's an indicator the person's not registered legally because they're a non-citizen, we follow up and make sure they're not on the rolls. This is the first time that, as best I can tell, that law to require the cleanup of rolls has been used to make sure states don't remove non-citizens from the rolls. And I tell you what's going on over at the Justice Department. They're hacks. You know, I have colleagues here in our election law department, our litigation department, who work there. They will tell you that the Justice Department Civil Rights Division, the Election Integrity Provision Division, as folks popularly know it, are left-wing partisan Democrats. And this is a left-wing partisan Democrat move designed not only to stop Virginia from removing non-citizens from the rolls, but it sends a signal to every other election official in the country. You start taking names off the rolls who obviously are not supposed to be there legally because they're non-citizens, we're going to come after you. And if that's not a signal as to what the left wants to happen, mm-hmm. which is to make it easier for non-citizens to vote illegally in our elections—
just so we're clear, the federal government is actively suing to keep illegals on the voter rolls. That is treason.
That's right.
This is as bad as the Fed suing Texas when it tried to protect its own border. Kamala Harris is an active participant in betraying the United States of America.